Dear Shooter, FudLogic is alive and well in the bowels of the social media cesspool, once again spewing their antiquated and debunked ideas. The latest outburst dove right into the terrible idea that you shouldn't carry around in the chamber because, you know, safety. He did mention that it's okay to chamber first if you are knowingly going into a dangerous situation. Oh, Fud, how do you tie your own shoes? But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip on. It's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Yeah, so, FUDs.
So we're going to retackle these guys again.
Oh, God. So here we go. But, you know, before we get there, we got to mention our title sponsors. We got Lucid Optics. We have WyoTac. Making sure that you guys get this content every week. So before we dive into the FUDs, I got kind of an interesting piece of news. Kyle Rittenhouse got to be a celebrity gun store clerk at Gulf Coast Gun and Outdoors in Milton, Florida. They were celebrating their 10th anniversary on February 5th, and he was behind the counter.
How do you broker that deal? I mean, I'd buy a gun from Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
But he's like way big celebrity now. He doesn't need to do like appearances.
But that's why he's
Costco.
Doing it, though. I mean, that's why he's doing it, because I guaranteed he got paid.
Oh, I'm sure.
And he was also, I mean, he was there. He was pimping his book. He was signing autographs. He was signing guns. They actually, I think they had a package gun that had his signature.
Oh, my gosh. Good for him, by the way.
He did, I mean, he did do a service to the world, I think.
He did. There's a lot of speculation on what would happen, that what if. And I think he answered a lot of those questions for us.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the article was kind of going back to, because the guy gets a lot of hate mail, understandably, because, I mean, people are dumb.
I hope it's not disproportionate to the fan mail he gets.
I doubt it. But, you know, the article, and I'll post this article, but one of the things they talked about is the three guys that he shot. One of them had been sentenced to a decade in prison on child molestation charges. Spent just over 14 years in prison for dozens of disciplinary infractions because he couldn't behave in prison.
Now, that's the dude he killed, right?
That was one of them. Had pending charges for domestic abuse and jumping bail at the time of his death. another of the attackers was convicted of domestic abuse and disorderly conduct, did prison time for choking his brother.
Went to prison for choking his brother.
Well, among other things, yeah.
Must have been a serious choke.
The surviving attacker testified at the trial that he pointed his handgun at Rittenhouse before being shot. You know, fuck around and find out. And that he was not permitted to carry the concealed weapon at the time because he was on parole.
So he's an idiot.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
yeah, fuck around and find out.
These are the people that we deal with.
But we learned that they don't run away anymore.
No.
The gun goes off and they come.
And that was the incident that showed us that. Because gunfire happened and the crowd attacked.
Yeah, the assumptions that when gunfire goes off, people are going to scatter like cockroaches is wrong.
Well, I mean, that's contemporary wisdom. That's what had always happened up until that point.
Yeah.
Which kind of, you know, the whole contemporary wisdom thing, that kind of leads us into our FUD.
Oh, God. So, yes, I did. I found a funny on socials the other day, and it struck me odd. I had to read it three times to make sure I was reading what I thought I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the preamble on it was kind of interesting. It was safety, security, proper use, and then you read.
Yeah.
And it got worse.
Oh, yeah. The trolls come out in the comments.
And then when they see the comment says, hey, there's time to delete this.
Yeah.
Then it got my attention.
I did notice that.
So, now, I had to send that to you.
So I screenshotted this. And this has been rattling around in my head for 3 days now. Thank you very much. And I'm not going to read the guy's name. We don't protect the stupid here. But, okay. You know, of course, this guy claims he was in Afghanistan. And he said, the only time I had a round in the chamber in Afghanistan was when I was on foot patrol. All the gunfights I had been in, I had always had time to rack around in and put my earplugs in. No way in hell would I carry a hot pistol concealed. If you train to chamber a round when you draw, you'll be fine. Because by that time, you've already decided to take the shot. Anyone watching you draw just started their OODA loop. Their reaction time will not match yours. Also, if you are knowingly going into a dangerous area, you can then charge your gun and reholster. It boils down to situational awareness. The odds of shooting yourself compared to taking down a bad guy are significantly higher. Just my humble opinion.
Yikes. Now, oh my gosh.
I don't even know where to start with what is wrong here.
Well, we're going to start right in the middle. He makes the assumption that when you are doing your draw stroke, you are the one initiating.
Right.
That's not how it works. No. That's not defensive posture.
No. No, that's absolutely not. That's why we train counter ambush.
So if that's your basis of mindset, you're wrong.
Well, and you're going to jail because that makes you the aggressor.
That's correct.
The way this guy words this out, this is a prosecutor's wet dream.
Well, absolutely.
You know, and the whole, I'm going to knowingly go into a dangerous area, so I'm gonna rack my gun. I'm gonna make sure I'm chambered, and then I'm gonna reholster. Now wait, that's safe, but any other time is not.
But we're making the assumption that we're in public at this point,
right?
And I'm going to expose my firearm.
Yeah,
chamber around.
Yeah,
because I feel that the area that I'm in is less than favorable. Let's draw attention to the white guy in a bad neighborhood real fast. He's an idiot.
He on multiple levels there.
You don't want to let people know what you've got, where you've got it.
Or even in your home. Somebody busts through your front door. I'm sure glad he has time for earplugs and racking one in. He must have a big frickin' house.
Well, the earplugs thing, it's humorous at best. But the racking around in part of your training. All right, so let's practice getting in a crash, and who can put your seatbelt on right before it happens?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the analogy we've always used.
You can't do it.
There's no way.
You can't do it.
And that's the other thing. You know, he talks about situational awareness. Okay, fine. We try to be as situationally aware as we possibly can. But you can't be 100% all the time. You just can't.
But I can bring a knife to a gunfight with this mentality. I'll win.
And you'll win. You will absolutely win. You probably win unarmed. Because startled, okay, we already know adrenaline. We have, you know, a contortion of blood flow to our extremities, which means we're probably going to fumble fuck it anyway.
Yes.
And you're talking about a relatively complex series of movements here to rack around in the chamber under duress, under serious duress.
You're adding 10 extra steps that don't need to be there.
Right. And
so he's saying that you have a high chance of shooting yourself as you draw a hot pistol. Is that the deal? Because he didn't learn to draw correctly.
Well, he's talking about statistics.
Like, get your booger hook out.
I will give him the statistical data supports his statement.
In a training environment, though, with even substandard equipment.
Even in a self-defense situation, most folks don't train. Most folks do not present from their holster in training.
No.
Most folks don't do it trying to manage it under stress at all, ever. But and that, so if you look at the statistical data from the holster, I bet most folks do shoot themselves.
I don't think they do.
Before you're going to shoot a bad guy, especially if they're wearing a Sherpa.
Well, there's that. Yeah, Sherpa holster's bad.
They train the wrong draw stroke. But
well, they don't train it at all.
Statistically, the data does support his statement.
I don't think it does because there are so many instances that go unreported of, okay, all they have to do is make the draw, and the bad guy's going, shit, I didn't know you had a gun, and walks away. This is why the whole one-shot stop data doesn't work.
I agree with that.
So I think there's a lot more data out there than we really know about because it goes unreported. You know, some guy comes up to me. You had an instance, I think, in Dallas. You kicked a guy down the stairs. Did you report it?
No, I did not, actually.
Okay. So there is an effective self-defense. Granted, you were hand-to-hand, but it went unreported. Now, there's no data on that.
There is no
data. So the overwhelming data is skewed anyway.
Yeah, I kind of thought Darwin played a role in that one.
I think it does, but I don't disagree. Going back to your training, you know, most people don't train beyond what's required.
Correct.
We know this. Now, the numbers are getting better. I think a lot of people, especially probably in the last decade, they get into it, they take a training class, and they kind of get hooked.
I can see that.
But what that does is it creates a group of about 10% of gun owners that just become training junkies, and they go all over the country. That's their vacation.
There's nothing necessarily wrong with that.
No.
You know, God help the bad guy that picks one of those, but...
Well, yes and no, because, I mean, I've had them in my classes, and, yeah, they're good on the range, but I think some of these guys become a little overconfident just because of the certificates they have on the wall.
Yeah, I could probably see that.
I mean...
But the I guess the difference for me is this example, and my voice is coming and going, sorry about that, but this example specifically... He cites military service as he is a firearms expert.
Yep.
And then goes on this rant of absolutely idiocracy.
Yeah.
So newsflash, people. Just because you served in the military does not make you a self-defense expert.
No.
And it's not. That's not how it works.
Different things altogether, military and safety into Walmart. Totally
different. I don't want to be misconstrued here. I have a huge respect for those folks that served. And I know a lot of them that are quite competent that would never say something like this.
Well, I do too. But this is, to your point, like, this is something I've fought my entire career. They're like, well, you weren't in the military, you weren't law enforcement, so you're not qualified to teach me firearms. And I always have that argument. To what you're saying, Brandy, a military mission statement, a law enforcement mission doesn't really equate to I'm taking my kids to go grocery shopping at Walmart. You know, those guys are, you know, the military guys, they're trained to go in and find the bad guys and kill them. You know, police, they are meant to go and usually after an incident has happened, try and clean it up, try and arrest bad guys, try and sort it out. Their mission really doesn't equate to what yours is. I think I'm in a unique position to teach people self-defense because of my background in personal security and doing private security.
I would agree with that. The you also study the human condition. You study conflict resolution, the skillful application of violence.
Mm-hmm.
You study this.
I have to.
But by studying it, it puts you on a different knowledge base because you are thinking through from an analytical standpoint, step by step, what happens. And you are including the things like fight or flight. Was it tachypsychia?
Mm-hmm. Tachypsychia, bradypsychia, the way the brain distorts time. You know, the way that, you know, it, down to why we don't look at the gun when we're training.
You need to be familiar without having to look at it. It needs to be an extension.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, training is, there's no substitute for it. I'm waiting for you to, and I'm going to lose my voice.
And he's going to die on us. More, you know, you should try vodka. You know, 10th Mountain can help you out with that.
Yeah, then I might have to do that. But I'm waiting for you to add a racking of a round into a draw stroke. I want to see that happen on video.
No. And I actually...
No, we had to do a video series. Show it.
Yeah, we should.
This is why you do, and this is why you don't.
Well, we need to be...
You, as a professional, will do it as much as proficiently as possible to show the timeline difference between them.
I don't know that I could do it as efficiently as possible, because at what point in my draw stroke am I going to rack the round? Because I train to rack the round at a high compressed ready up, you know, in my workspace. Because that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to rack the round, and then I'm going to drive out, because that's what I've trained to do.
Doesn't this create the bad habit of those gentlemen who like to rack the slide on their holster? I find that a problem.
That's really only meant if your other hand goes down.
But I see that starting to be a thing if this is what the world goes
to. Which, to me, creates more of a hazard of shooting yourself than just carrying a damn round in the chamber.
It totally does. And with the rise of the optic on the pistol, people are starting to have a shelf or a lever that they want to use. And I wish they wouldn't. It creates a whole discipline issue.
I totally agree. I tell people if they've got an optic on, yeah, put your finger up against that optic and use it as leverage.
Sure, if you need to.
But that's different than, you know, I'm going to use the heel of my boot to do it.
Or the fence post. Or
yeah,
the door jam. Mm-hmm. Or all these other things you're seeing people use these things for now.
Well, and you're creating an issue depending on the holster that you're carrying, you know. Let's go back to FUDs. Typically, you see them a 1911 in a leather holster. Does that leather holster have the structure to be able to facilitate racking off of it?
A good one does.
A good one, but, I mean, come on.
I agree.
Typically, and even if it was a good, it might be a freaking Galco, but they've had the thing for 25 years. It's a little bit worn out.
I would be interested to see where this guy would advocate carrying appendix 3 o'clock.
Oh, I'll guarantee you strong side outside the waistband.
Probably small of the back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, small of the back.
So he can't get to it in time anyway.
No, he can't get to it. And chances are he's already been knocked on his ass. So the gun has severed his spine. And now he's laying on top of it, getting ground and pounded. He's done.
These are all minor little details that a new shooter doesn't quite understand. And they see a lot of Hollywood, and they start carrying where they think it looks cool.
Yeah.
And it's out of the way.
Yeah, thanks, Miami Vice. You fucked us on that one.
Very badly. But, you know, it all kind of ties together with the same mindset, though. Yeah, if he carries his carbine without a round in the chamber.
So listeners, help us out here. I legit want to sit down and have a productive conversation. I won't make fun of them. Find me someone who thinks like this, I want to bring him on the show. I want to, because I want to understand the logic behind it.
Well, and I will flat out tell him myself. 30 years ago, I thought like that.
I never thought not, you know, not carrying in the chamber.
I had a lawyer as part of a security group make a case that one in the chamber is premeditation. And so a lot of us went, oh, interesting. And we carried on empty chambers. Since then, I've been in a gunfight or two. And that's bullshit.
Yeah,
it's nothing but bullshit.
Well, I had some friends of ours, and they had both come out of the military and both had this empty chamber mentality. And it was because that's what the military required. That was their standard operating procedure.
And why is that?
I honestly don't know. Other than, I mean, everything in the military is dumbed down to an eighth grade level.
Were they worried about the ND?
I probably. And I'm sure it happened, and that's why the rule was there. But, I mean, I sat and I went side by side, and I think this is what you and I need to do for a video. And I was like, okay, we put up a target at, like, I don't know, 5-6 yards, whatever. You know, regular kind of fight distance, maybe a little bit further, but it was okay. You do you, I'll do me, and on the buzzer, how long is it from draw to first shot? And
this is doable.
They were nowhere close. They were 3 seconds behind me. I had put 3 rounds in the target by the time they even got their gun up.
Interesting.
And so it completely debunked it for them. And then, but that they still had that, well, you know, I don't want to carry because something might happen. And I showed them in the holster. I put the gun in the holster and I threw it like 20 yards downrange. Into the dirt, into the rocks. I'm like, nothing can happen when this is in a quality Kydex holster.
This is pre-SIG.
Well, it worked. Well, yeah, it wasn't a SIG either. I think it was an FN. And I didn't want to do it to their gun, so I used my gun, which happened to be a Smith & Wesson. But, I mean, I chucked the thing. And you should have seen, I mean, the eyes became saucers at that point. But it demonstrated that, and I did this with a loaded gun, one in the chamber. And I'm like, nothing can happen unless that trigger is actuated.
True.
You know, now we do talk about, and we've talked about it before, like you have to be careful, especially on the reholster. And that's why in training, we always talk about, you know, look it into the holster, always holster slowly. Because if you're putting the gun back, fight's over. Like, there's no reason to be in a hurry there.
But then we're back to trigger discipline.
Right.
Where is it? Get your booger hook off the bang
switch.
Well,
and don't use a SERPA.
Even putting it back.
Yeah.
People, get your finger off the trigger.
Get your finger off the trigger and watch out for those little bungee things on your North Face jacket. Because
the work's
those
been will, done. Oh. Put it away.
Yeah. But don't get in a hurry. There's no reason to hurry.
Nothing to hurry about.
So, all right. Let's pay a couple of bills here, and then we'll unpack the next part of this, which is probably going to go down another rabbit hole.
Awesome.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
When it comes to your personal security, you want the best. And your training shouldn't be an exception. WyoTac is your one-stop for all of your education and training needs, covering competitive, defensive, and hunting classes, as well as medical, fieldcraft, and survival courses. With over a decade of experience and with a network of resources, WyoTac can help to meet your goals. When no one is coming, you have to rely on yourself. Make sure you know what to do when the time comes. WyoTech. Empowerment through self-reliance.
Okay, so the next part of this that really just got my hackles up was when he talks about, you know, it's okay to chamber around and reholster if you're knowingly going into a dangerous situation. Now, the only thing, the only out I can give this guy is he's talking about, I know I'm in combat, I'm in a combat zone, and I'm going into a potentially hot situation here. Otherwise, we have to go back, and I apologize here. I'm pretty sure it was Richard Mann that said it, but don't quote me on that, but I do know the quote. And it's, don't go stupid places with stupid people and do stupid things.
Valid. But no, because now I'm down a round.
Right.
In a controlled environment, I'm going to load my magazine. I'm going to put one in the chamber. I'm going to pull the magazine. I'm going to top off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I carry.
Right.
I want all the opportunity that I possibly can have.
You want all the pews.
That's right. If I'm walking down the street and go, oh, hey, situation's changed, I must load one.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Because now you just painted a huge, well, you get the cardboard sign and neon letters that says, shoot me first.
Mommy, what's that man doing over there by the post office box? Committing a felony.
Yeah. In one way or another, are you wearing a trench coat?
Yeah. Stop it. This is bad. No, this is not even a good idea.
Well, and if you're from a civilian perspective, okay, if you know you're going into a potentially dangerous situation, don't go. I mean, that's a potential option here, right?
That is the option.
Why would you put yourself in that situation and knowingly, again, we're talking prosecutor's wet dream here. Hey, you knew you were going into the stop and rob as it was actively being robbed, but you chambered around, reholstered, and went in anyway.
You went looking for trouble.
Yes. And that, I mean, that that mentality. He talks about situational awareness. Well, if you're situationally aware enough to know that you're going into a potentially bad situation, I would not go. Call me a coward, but, you know, I like to live.
You don't go to jail if you don't go into the place that puts you in jail. I mean, one of the best lines ever came out of a funny movie. But if you're allergic to waffles, don't eat at the Waffle House.
I don't know. I mean,
no. There's no excuse there.
I'll take the EpiPen, but don't deny me my waffles.
Well, you're not allergic to waffles.
I'm not. I'm really not allergic to much, thankfully.
I mean, Brady had a few years back, she had a hell of a situation. She developed a gluten allergy.
Yeah.
Well, Brandy liked beer.
Yeah.
That sucked for a while.
It did, but, you know, they make all sorts of gluten-free beer. It tastes like ass, but it's there.
No. Yikes.
So, one other thing that I want to kind of touch on here, because he says this flat out. He said, anyone watching you draw just started their OODA loop. Wrong. The person that's watching you draw, they've probably already drawn on you. Because it was their actions that initiated your draw, which means, guess what, Buttercup? You're playing catch-up.
Well, but this is what we started talking about. So OODA loop, right? They're trying to process what's going on, right? He's drawing the same line that we've heard time and time again, that the sound of a shotgun will make the bad guy run away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chuk-chuk. Well, it makes him think real quick. But in case studies, it doesn't make him run away.
No. No, and all it does is give away your position.
But you're talking about that OODA loop. Yeah. Now you're picking the lock on somebody's door, right? And you hear the shotgun being racked.
Mm-hmm.
They don't run away.
No.
They go to a different door.
Right.
Or they kick it in.
Well, in this case, like, their OODA loop's already started.
Correct.
Because they chose to confront you, attack you, whatever they're going to do, which means you're behind the curve already.
That's right.
So, they haven't just started their OODA loop, Mr. Fudd.
No.
They're halfway through it.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're late to the party.
Yeah, but I mean, they are through a complete revolution of the OODA loop, okay? They have observed you. They have oriented towards you. They have decided, and now they are acting, which is why you're drawing in the first place.
And I will tell you that any street-savvy guy that's going to initiate violence, he's thought the scenario through a little bit, and he's approaching in a very specific angle, knowing you've got two ways to move.
Right.
And one is a pinch.
Right.
He's trying to bind you up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's something that people need to consider, too. I mean, let's face it, okay, criminals on a general level usually aren't that intelligent.
No, but they're taking advantage of every advantage they possibly can.
They can, but that's what people have to understand is the bad guys out there, look, this is their job. This is what they do for a living.
That's right.
You know, think about how good you are at your job. This is their job. And I think if you think about that in that perspective, you start to kind of maybe not underestimate them. I mean, yeah, we see some stupid headlines, but and there are some really dumb criminals. But think about it. This is their profession.
And I think that's an entire another podcast, but you should write that down, by the way. But you're right. My point being, though, when somebody does the aggressive attack thing, they've already made certain measures. They've weighed options.
They've already chosen you because you are easy to them.
Absolutely.
For some reason.
You have your hands full. You're distracted. You're in your phone. There's a lot of reasons that they're going to get the jump on you. And that's what they want. They want all the advantages that they possibly can. So this OODA loop mindset is the most ludicrous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the entire statement is just, it's bad. It's bad all the way around.
Well, one of the things that, you know, we got away from the OODA loop when in doing the intuitive defensive shooting program. And we went to what we call ORR. Okay. So it's observe, react, respond. Because that's once you're already in the encounter, right? Because you got to see what's going to happen. You are going to physically, mentally react. I mean, and this is involuntary, right? Now you have to use that learned response to get out of the problem.
Unless you've trained it, my bet is you freeze.
I would agree with that. You freeze, you cower, because you... And I think we talked about this in the last episode.
You don't even understand what's going on right now.
Right. Your brain is trying to process it. And if it has no basis of knowledge... No point of reference, you will freeze because now it's trying to make things up, to try and figure it out. And that takes time that you don't have. I mean, I think we've actually used that phrase, you know, you have the rest of your life to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You're playing catch up in a bad way.
It is a bad way. And that's why we train the way we do. And that's the whole counter ambush methodology is you train for the absolute worst case scenario, which means you didn't see it coming.
Correct.
Wow, we kind of flew through this one.
Did we actually get there?
We're pretty much there, but I'm going to end on this because I was curious when I was kind of prepping for this a little bit. I Googled it, and I Googled FUD definition, and this is what I came up with. Google says FUD, noun. The plural is FUDs, and it's a derogatory term, meaning a gun owner who supports traditional hunting guns but favors gun control for other guns such as handguns or tactical rifles. Another derogatory term, a bumbling and ill-educated person.
It fits. It really does fit.
It does fit. And oddly enough, it kind of fits for Democrats, too.
Well, Democrats want to impose gun control, but they know nothing about the firearms. Not a thing.
Well, we've seen this in the last few weeks with Doge.
So they're dumber than FUDs.
Well, a lot of them are. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of these agencies and a lot of the positions that they're trying to get rid of are people in, you know, for example, the Department of Agriculture. They're not farmers. They don't have degrees in forestry. They know nothing about what they're trying to regulate. And this is systemic across our entire government.
Hopefully that's getting changed.
Oh, it's getting changed in a big way. Why do you think the Democrats' panties are on fire at this point? Because the gravy train has ended, people.
Well, just pay attention. They're not upset that money's being stolen or misused. They're upset they got caught doing
it. That's exactly it. You know, I saw a thing the other day, and I think it was RFK that posted it. But he talked about, you know, the cookie jar lid is getting slammed so hard and so fast that a lot of fingers are getting broken. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the, you know, the news right now is on the Department of Education. But it's only a matter of time before the ATF is in the crosshairs. Well, they've already made mention of it.
And a follow-up action, which I think needs to happen, is if you get caught stealing, you have to pay it back.
I agree.
Or you have to go to jail.
I totally agree. What did I see today? It was, I can't even remember what department it was now, but they found, it was like $58 billion that they're like, oh, we lost it.
No. No, I'll lose 50 cents.
Yeah.
You don't lose $58 billion.
No, but it's insane. I mean, I'm kind of with you. I was a little skeptical when you first said it, but, you know, by the time they're done uncovering all of this fraud and getting rid of all this crap, I think we're going to see a relatively significant reduction in the national debt.
Oh, absolutely. A huge reduction.
Now, my fear... Congress, are you listening, you rhinos? Don't get cold feet at the last minute.
No, you got to follow through.
You got to follow through. You grow a spine.
The worst thing you can do is show the American people all of this and then do nothing.
And then, yeah, and then not vote to deal with it.
Yeah, you got to follow through.
You know, just remember that in November in 2 years.
Well, the midterm's going to be absolutely... interesting.
I think it's my guess, if they keep going the way they're going now, it's going to be a bloodbath. And I think it's going to be on the state level as well, because I think the more we start seeing uncovered at the federal level, people are going to start questioning their state budgets too.
Agreed.
Colorado, I think you're in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. I've got popcorn.
Well, good, because it's looking like I may end up having to testify.
Good.
And, you know, here I am. I'm playing cases in Colorado now.
That's awesome.
Mostly because I don't want all of my buddies down there moving their gun safes into my house, because I don't have anywhere to park my truck.
We can figure that out.
Sure we can.
Your buddies have some interesting firearms.
Yeah, they do. And I'll have the code. They probably watch. They won't send the damn ammo with it.
We can figure that out. Details. We'll figure that out.
So, God, how do we close this out? I mean, the FUD was hardcore on this one, and just make your brain hurt.
Yeah, you'll run across these folks. Just don't listen to them. They do not know. They'll tell you they do, but they don't.
Well, yeah, they do, and. I mean, unfortunately, you can't put an age on this, because I've heard crap like this from 20-year-olds.
Well, they were just regurgitating from somebody else.
Yeah. But the times, they are changing, and hopefully, you know, FUDs die hard. Mm-hmm. You know, not that we want to lose them, but we would really like to educate them. So, until next week... keep blaming the gun that you didn't chamber a round in.
You fud.